Okay, Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Almon Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, a platform under the Community Education Network that was created by Brother Rashiki Maskani. And we give nothing but tributes and praise and thanks to him for allowing us to use this platform to broadcast our Zoomcast. And another thing, we want to also say to each and every one of you, you found your family in a peaceful place. And we wish for all of you blessings without numbers, all good things without end. And we also say to you, the struggle continues. Keep the faith, hold the line, and don't ever bag up. Keep going, no matter what. If you're hungry, keep going. If you're tired, keep going. If you're sleepy, keep going. You know, if you're sick, keep going. The struggle continues, no matter what. Asante Sana. Tonight, we have a very interesting guest, a longtime activist on college campuses and has created and ventured into entrepreneurship. And he's going to tell us all about that. Jamal Brown is a former student at California State University of Long Beach, where he at one time was president of the Black Student Union that was changed to the African Student Union for a little while, but back to Black Student Union. But he's been a hallmark on the campus for his relentless struggles for justice for students and equality for students, African-American students on that campus. So we want to welcome Brother Jamal and let him introduce himself and talk about his company, talk about all the things he's doing. And we really are happy to have him on this Zoomcast via Barry Thomas, who assisted us in getting him on the show. And so we want to thank him. Barry Thomas is one of the hallmarks of California State University of Long Beach, where he keeps in touch with all the students, keeps in touch with, just the activism on the campus. That's part of his legacy. But anyway, Brother Jamal Brown is going to, we're going to let him take, he's going to talk 20, 30 minutes, and we're going to ask him questions. Brother Jamal, go ahead.
First, let me say it's both a pleasure and an honor for me to be here. I do a number of these podcast interviews where sometimes I'm the interviewer, sometimes I'm the interviewee, but I don't think that I can recall of a time where I've had one of my former teachers, one of my former JEGNAs, on the other end. I've had the distinct pleasure of talking with the son of Marcus Garvey, the daughter of Martin Luther King, of Malcolm X, Atala Shabazz, Julius Garvey, Dr. Julius Garvey, and some others. But I've never sat across the Zoom from a Professor Amin Ra. And I must say, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm delighted. And then additionally, before I move forward, I have to say this. I never had an opportunity to thank you, Professor Ra, for something that I'm certain that you do not even recall. It had to be the year of 2002, and it had to be springtime. And I know that because you'll put it together here in just 1 second. I was 19 years old. I was on the campus of Cal State Long Beach. I was a president scholar. I'll talk a little bit about my journey into becoming a president scholar. I was president of the Black Student Union. And I found out that I was going to become a father. And I hadn't told too many people of this. And as you could imagine, you know, with those set of conditions and circumstances, sophomore in college, 19 years old, unwed, I had a bit of angst, had a bit of anxiety, fear, trepidation. I wasn't eating too much. I wasn't sleeping too much. And again, there were some things going on with the BSU, and you had called me to your office to discuss a few of those things, and decency and order and my eye and you know, the proper way of doing things. And before we even started the meeting, I said, brother, I gotta tell you something. I'm going to be a father. And I kind of said it with a little bit of shame, a little bit of melancholiness, a little coyness. And you looked me straight in the eyes, and your first word out your mouth was, congratulations. And I have to say that congratulations just allowed me to breathe, allowed me to see straight, allowed my heart to just feel okay for a minute. And I never had a chance to say thank you for that. So I want to say thank you right here, right now for that just simple congratulations.
Well, you're, how old is the baby now?
He's 22.
Wow, ain't no baby no more.
There ain't no baby no more. Yeah. That had to be.
How's he doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. almost finishing up over at CSUN. He said he needed to take a little mental health break. So he's taking a little short break from his senior year over at CSUN, majoring in psychology.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's doing all right. But let me tell you, before that, congratulations. I'd only maybe told a handful of people that, you know, I was going to become a father at that time. And every single person within my family, within my social circle, oh, man, you done messed up. Oh, man, what you going to do? Oh, man, you're a president scholar. Oh, man, you're president of BSU. Oh, man, you got to maintain a certain GPA. Oh, man, you got to drop out of school and get a job. Everyone said that, but you said congratulations. And that did something to me.
You must be kind. Yeah, well, that was an honor to bring forth another soldier or soldierette. And that was just an honor. I always, you know, when you're having a child, you're contributing to the movement. Especially when they have a father like you, you know, whether he chooses to follow in your footsteps or not, he has an example. You
Not
understand? Because we all have children to go away with sometimes. But
not
the
shame.
point is that I was glad you was having it. You need somebody with some sense.
Ashe,
with some
but like I said, every other person prior to you, again, looked at it as something dramatic, as something, you know, a foul, as something out of order. But you said congratulations. And now let me tell you this, in the spirit of that, I've worked at a number of schools. I work in education for several years at this point. Again, we're going forward to go back. And now I've had the pleasure of encountering a number of young people who have sat across from me with all sorts of fears, all sorts of anxiety in their eyes, and have uttered those same exact words. You know, I'm going to be a mother. I'm going to be a father. And the very first word out of my mouth, with bar none, is congratulations.
Yeah.
And because of the Amon Ra said congratulations to me.
That's another black soldier coming in.
Not
Whether
shame.
They know they're in a war or not, they're a soldier because they're going to be a victim.
Ashe. So just know that you've started, contributed to many legacies, but the legacy of every single time I hear a person, particularly a young person, particularly a teenager, particularly someone who I see is, you know, hasn't fully settled with the thought and concept of, you know, bringing forth life. The first word out of my mouth is congratulations. I've had some folks want to combat me. The person I'm congratulating combat me. No, it's not a congratulations. I'm scared. No, it's a congratulations. It's not a congratulations. I'm uncertain. No, it's a congratulations. It's not a congratulations. Me and my baby mom, baby daddy, we don't get along. Congratulations. And again, it was a Professor Amon Ra who said those one word, one simple word, but it lifted a weight. It lifted, you know, it just lifted my spirits by hearing that. And so again, I never had a chance to say thank you for that. I want to say thank you for that before we even get started.
Thanks, Merlin.
Indeed, indeed. But again, as it's been stated, my name is Jamal Brown. I'm a longtime resident, as I said right before the camera started rolling, a longtime resident of the Palmdale, Lancaster area. My first memories in life are here in East Palmdale. For those who may not know where Palmdale is at, Palmdale, Lancaster, they're the northernmost cities in Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County is one of the largest counties in the country. So really, it's about 60, maybe 70 miles from actual Los Angeles. It's very, very, very different than the Los Angeles that many of us know and are accustomed to. My first memories in life, as I said, were in East Palmdale in a mobile home park. And so that should give you some basis of understanding of my parents' socioeconomic status at that time. Despite their economic status, they always saw it fit that me and my brother went to a private school in the next city over on the other side of town, where, you know, the folks weren't quite like the folks that lived in our neighborhood. So again, went to a private school virtually my whole life, from kindergarten through up until high school, you know, with privileged folks, with white folks, with folks, again, that were different from us. And I'll never forget, in fourth grade, teacher gave us an assignment, said, go home, write down five things you want to do, come back and tell the class. Now, I was a studious student my entire life. So I went home, was diligent, sat down, started thinking about what people in my neighborhood did, started thinking about the career choices and paths that were traveled down by my parents and others in my family. And of course, the news and TV was on, and I got to write my list. Following morning, each student had to come stand on the X in front of class and shout out their list. It was a white boy who went first. He talked about how he wanted to be an astronaut or a firefighter and what have you. I can't remember the rest. The girl who went in front of me, I only remember one thing that she said. She said she wanted to be a podiatrist. Took me about 10, 15 years to figure out what a podiatrist was. You know, it's a foot doctor for those in the audience who might not know, right? And I looked at my list. Well, my list is a little bit different than theirs. Finally, it was my turn. I was third in line. I stood up, poked my chest out a little bit, cleared my throat. Said, my name is Jamal Brown. I'm going to be an athlete, a drug dealer, a gang member, or entertainer. Athlete, drug dealer, gang member, entertainer. Is as true as I'm sitting right here right now, that was my list. The teacher looked at me pitifully, walked me over to my seat, patted me on the back, and let me know that we were going to have a parent-teacher conference later on that day. The parent-teacher conference took place. My mother showed up. I had to step outside the room. I just know mother came out crying, teacher came out crying, and I remember I couldn't play my Nintendo for the rest of the summer. I was grounded for the rest of the summer, you know, saying I was going to be an athlete, drug dealer, gang member, or entertainer. But throughout my life, I put varying levels of energy into each one of those things. I thought about becoming a gang member. And when I sat down and thought about it, again, as life progressed a little bit, so I'm maybe in junior high at this point, I couldn't answer then, like I can't answer now. When a gang member isn't out committing murder and mayhem, I still don't know what gang members actually do. Plus, I know there's no 401ks, no stock options, no retirement plans for gang members. Additionally, my father had been shot. So I've had a pretty good secondhand view of what a bullet can do to flesh. My father's still alive, but I've, again, seen what a bullet can do to flesh. So thankfully, early on, I scratched off being a gang member from my list. Next up, I thought about becoming a drug dealer. True story. I was so convinced I was going to be a drug dealer. There was a drug dealer on my street. I believe the statute of limitations are up now, so I'll tell you his name. His name was Dwight. Dwight lived on my street. He sold drugs. He had the nice car, the booming sound system, and Dwight used to give me candy. So I'm like, I figured being a drug dealer really couldn't be all that bad of a gig. I was so convinced I was going to be a drug dealer that one day I actually decided to tell my mother of my career aspirations. If she was right here right now, she would confirm this story and tell you it's 100% true. Sunday morning of all mornings, before church, mom is washing a few dishes, hands full of palm olive soap. We all know that green bottle of palm olive. I sit down at the bar, stood in front of her, I said, Mom, I figured out what I want to do. Matching my energy, she said, What, baby, tell me. I said, I'm going to sell drugs. Now I dipped back. I thought that hand was going to come out the water and slap me in the next week. It didn't happen. She just kept her head down, kept washing those dishes. She's washing dishes for maybe another minute, but that minute felt like a year. Then she started humming, Professor Raw, and that's when I got scared. She started humming some old Negro spiritual or something, some swing low switch. I don't know what she was humming. Then finally she spoke. She said, Baby, I don't think it's going to work out too well for you. I said, Why not? She said, Well, after I beat you, I'm going to call the cops on you, and you're going to go to jail. So grand open, grand close. My whole drug career lasted about 3 minutes. I didn't sell an ounce, a brick, a bird. I didn't sell nothing. About 3 minutes, I was a drug dealer, though. And then mom shut all that down. From that point, I put all of my energy, day and night, night and day, into the game of basketball. I played so much basketball. I was in four leagues at one time. I wasn't known as Jamal Brown. I was known as Jamal the basketball player. I was on a city league, a traveling league, an all-star league, a YMCA league. I was playing basketball, like I said, nonstop. Convinced my parents to allow me to go to the public high school, Lancaster High School, and so I can get some more notoriety, what have you. I was successful in convincing them. Made my next goal to become captain of the team. Made it my goal to lead the team in all statistical categories. Started leading the team in points, assists, blocks, turnovers, fouls, technical fouls. I was doing everything. I was doing everything to the max. One day I wasn't feeling too well after a practice. My loving mother took me to the doctor. They ran a whole host of tests, ears, nose, eyes, everything, head to toe. At the end of that doctor's appointment, doctor said, Mr. Brown, you have apical hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. I said, could you say that in English, please? I said, you have apical hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. The tip of your heart, Mr. Brown, is about two times thicker than it should be. There's extra muscle around your heart. I now have language that I didn't have then. I understand that comedy and laughter is what they call a trauma response. So I was quick witted. I said, well, my heart has extra muscles. Maybe that's why I'm dunking in the ninth grade. Maybe that's why, you know, maybe that's why I'm so good, at, you know, leading the team in all the categories. I said, nah, it doesn't quite work out like that. So, well, we have a game against our rival at Antelope Valley High School next week. I said, no, Mr. Brown, you have a heart surgery next week. So as a 14-year-old freshman, I literally saw myself go from a basketball court to an operating table. Woke up from that surgery, room for the doctors, nurses, family members, but no one would speak. I was the first to open my mouth. I said, when can I play basketball again? First words out of my mouth. Doctor said, well, son, the surgery didn't quite go as expected. Additionally, there's no further surgeries, nor is there any medications that can fix the condition that you have. And I'll never sign the waiver for you to play a sport ever again. Now, I was crushing to anybody at any age, but particularly a young person who I never updated my list, athlete, drug dealer, gang member, entertainer. I never thought of myself. I never knew of our people, anyone in my family or our extended family or our ancestors who had done the things that we know the histories has recorded. With more time on my hands, no longer playing basketball, going to games, tournaments, practices, I started picking up books. Picked up the autobiography of Malcolm X. Picked up the philosophies and opinions of Marcus Garvey. Picked up books on the Nile. Picked up books on Egypt. Picked up books on the pyramids. And I discovered for the first time, Professor Raw, as a 14, 15-year-old, that people who look like me and you are more than just athletes, drug dealers, gang members, entertainers, but the mothers and fathers of civilization, the world's first doctors, first lawyers, first politicians, first mathematicians, first to create institutions where people traveled all over the globe to study our information. And I made it my goal to then put my best foot forward every single day. I made it my goal to ensure that those who went before me would be proud of the life and legacy that I began to travel down. And so, inspired by Black history, I became Lancaster High School's first ever Black valedictorian. I was accepted to 8 universities, got about $50,000 in scholarships. I accepted to USC, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, NYU, Emory. But it was Cal State Long Beach that said, we have a spot for you as a president scholar, full 4-year academic scholarship, come on down. And so I put USC, I put Emory, put all the other ones in the rear view, and I signed my name and said I was coming to Cal State Long Beach. And there is when I was further introduced and a battery is put in my back, as the kids say, or gasoline was put on the fire that was already sparked in terms of a knowledge and a history, a knowledge and a quest and a thirst for Black history. You know, hung around the psych quad, hung around Professor Amon-Ra, hung around Dr. Milana Karenga, hung around those others, and began to have my cup filled with Black history. Year 2001, I believe it was, became the co-founder and vice president of the Black Business Student Association. And it was 2003, if I'm not mistaken, became the president of the Black Student Union. Again, there was some name change, but maybe we can talk about that in here in just a few moments, for a short time, the African Student Union. And that's a life and a legacy that and a time that I hold near and dear to me. Fast forward just a little bit more, almost wrapping up with my opening words here. Inspired by all that experience of being a Black Student Union, of being filled up with Black history information at Long Beach State, I wanted to ensure after I graduated that no other student, after I graduated, I wanted to ensure that no other student, no other young person, no, particularly no Black person, young Black person, young Black boy, if I'm being real granular, real specific, I want to ensure that no other person ever thought that all we were and all we could be is athletes, drug dealers, gang members, and entertainers. And so in the year 2010, I put together and published the first edition of this. This is a calendar that highlights an event in Black history every single day. So you have here 365 days of Black facts, something that happened on that day in history. You have an individual, an instance, idea, invention, something that was created by a Black person. You have, you know, a key feature up top. And again, each and every single day, 365 Black history facts. And I truly, truly, truly can say, if it was not for a Professor Amon-Ra, if it was not for Black Studies, if it was not for my time as president of the Black Student Union at Cal State Long Beach, I would not have been able to create dare I say, masterpiece, dare I say something I'm proud of. Again, this calendar. I have a number of other products, a Black history book. I have some Black history flash cards and things. All can be found at black365.com. Again, black365.com. We expanded merchandise, again, that promotes and tells the story of Black history this year. Our signature saying, Black history is world history. And again, something I'm very, very, very proud of. That's who I am. That's how I've come to be here, and definitely open to continuing the conversation.
Okay. Brother Machine, you have any questions?
No, I just like the brother's enthusiasm, and you know, I see a lot of similarities in myself in terms of the energy that he's putting out. You know, all I could do is you know, continue to, you know, hey, keep doing what you're doing, you know. Sounds like you, you know, you had a great start. Appreciate you sharing your upbringing. But hey, sound like I always tell people, I'm just getting started, you
That's
know,
right.
And, you know, and you know, and I might be considered a senior citizen in under European standards, but, you know, again, I'm just getting started, but I appreciate your commentary and continue to share.
Ashe. All
right. Good, good, Machinda. Brother Ahid, did you get a chance to hear?
I did, and the brother was very informative about his life and entertaining at the same time. That was 365.com, brother.
Black 365, BLACK365.com. Yes, okay. Sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
Thank
I
you.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. And that calendar is the bomb, and I will be ordering it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, brother Rasha Key. Oh, Linda, you there? Linda?
Yes, I'm here. I'm definitely here.
All right. You have any questions?
I really enjoyed this. I loved it.
Huh?
I really enjoyed it. I was telling him I loved it.
Now, let me tell you about Linda. Linda is a longtime activist. Her and her brother had one of the first cultural centers and bookstores in Long Beach.
Okay.
And she also wrote for the Long Beach Black newspaper. And she has a traveling museum, and she does a lot of writing in history herself. But go ahead, Linda, ask him questions.
Oh, yeah, because I wanted to ask him just one thing, because I love the calendar idea. Now, since you're a student, have you done anything on social media? It's like with the TikTok channel or TikTok shop?
Great question. I do not presently have a TikTok, but definitely have an Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. Black365 calendar on Instagram. Got a whole bunch of followers and all that good stuff. Try to keep it updated. Definitely need to hire my son. Again, I'm 42. My son's 22. Again, 19 years younger than me. Need to hire him to run that stuff. See, it all seems a bit juvenile, but certainly it's a necessary piece of how people connect. And, you know, I've seen studies of, you know, so many folks on there, so many.
Okay, and just a part a two. Part two is it, because you're such a good inspirational speaker and you're smart, young. So why not have you? Why haven't you done a YouTube channel, since you like talking and talk what you do?
Thank you. I need to. I've been putting it off, and it will happen. I've heard it more than a couple of times, and so indeed, sister, I appreciate that nudge, and indeed, I'll make it happen.
And I'll definitely be watching.
Thank you. Right. Thank you,
Brother Rashiki. You have any questions, concern?
Well, no, I really don't have any questions. I just appreciate what he's doing. And one of my buddies already said that he wanted a calendar, so I told him I would get him one. So I'll be ordering that real soon. And keep doing what you're doing, brother, because it's very important. And I appreciate you.
Thank you. Professor Raw, I mean, you alluded to it a bit earlier, that on the campus, we went through a bit of a name change with the BSU. If my memory serves me correctly, it was a bit of acrimony. It was a bit of a rub, some friction there. What if anything do you recall of that time? And that we can dialogue with the folks, and, you know, pull back the curtain on a few things.
I don't think I was upset about the name. I probably was upset about the process.
Indeed, I believe
that if you was going to change the name, you should have consulted with those that started the organization, those former presidents, and did a little more research on the history and why did the students change it from Negro Student Union to Black Student Union. that we're in a racial struggle. Whether we want to call ourselves something else, the system has already instituted prejudice and degradation, devastation, and all kind of things on the word black. And that was a rallying call of black power. And that name came out of the movement in the 60s. And so I was concerned about, did you do enough research before you went to institute it to African? Then second, you weren't the first that tried to change the name. Some tried to change the name to Moors Student Union, Black Moors Student Union. Some tried to change the name to Pan-African Student Union. Some tried to change the name to various names, you know. And then I was worried about the influence of the All-African Revolutionary Party on you and on other students. Because when we would have programs, it was sometime yell out, we're African. And that was their call. So I was worried if you were being influenced by them. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's full circle. It's back. It's back to Black Student Union, because it's associated with our activism in the 60s of turning the negative concept of Black people enslaved to Black people of progress, the best of African thought and practices. And so, but you know, you were young, you were the president, and you know, what could I do? You know, I mean, that's the only thing I could do was give you that, you know, express my concern. But at the same time, you know, I was heartbroken because I started the first BSU, helped start the first BSU at Compton College. And I was a member of the BSU when I was a student at Cal State Long Beach. And I know how hard and how respected the organization was under the Black Student Union and how mobilizing it was, because you didn't have to join. There was no application. And we counted you as a member, even if you weren't active in the amendment, because the system saw you as Black students. And so we just say, you know, if we had 1,600 Black students on campus, we had 1,600 members. Some were active, some were not. But that was just the issue. But listening to your story of how you came up and the things that you went through and the mental challenges and aspirations that you had as a youngster is not, you know, a lot of kids fantasize those things. I mean, when I was coming up, I thought I was going to be a pro basketball player or a hustler. You understand? I mean, hustlers was always our images, from Superfly to Shaft to, you know, to the Mac and to the brothers and sisters we saw shooting dice and playing three card Molly and high at the PE and you know, and they were always sharp, and they were all that pimps and hustlers. So those were role models for many of us at the pool hall and things of that nature. So I understand that aspiration, but at the same time, I like the transformation that you just expressed. That's more important when you be the best of who you are, and that you had, it was challenging the way you had your transformation by why each of them were eliminated until you became into your full knowledge of who you are and where you are and what you want to be as far as contributions to the movement. So I think it was an excellent narrative of your history. And I mean, I didn't know all these things when you were a student. We had a lot of students. I just treat them all the same. But you made me think now to get to know people, even at this age, 76. You know, I that's why we have this show, not just to listen to the speaker, but to learn ourselves of new ideas. And you gave me something that I would teach other people. Always get to know the person's background. Marijuana teaches that. You want to know why they think the way they think, and their history, and You know, and so I appreciate that story. That story with as everybody listened to was authentic. It was real. It was fascinating, and it was it kept everybody's attention because we didn't know what the hell was coming next. And so it was beautiful, you know. And so I just want to commend you on the calendar and all the other work you're doing. But I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
What is going on in Lancaster and Palmdale? Man, every time I turn on the TV, there's some shooting, some this and some that. Is there any movement, any consciousness, any organizations down there?
You're right.
Off that 14 freeway?
Off the 14 freeway. That's right. Right. For most of
I've
you.
I've been there, brother. I've been to the courthouse. I've been trying to get pick people up from being released. And oh, man, this it's a desert town, man. A little
it's
small
a desert town.
Everybody down the street. And
that's right.
Isolated,
that's right.
Man. But go
isolated,
ahead.
Isolated, desert, detached. The consciousness, as you alluded to, is low. The unity, the self-determination is low. Again, this is the place I call home. Again, my son is here. My parents, I always like to honor them, even in their absence from us. They're still living. They live here. And so that's kind of my tie here. The reason why, again, I went to Long Beach and came right on back. But again, it's a dusty place. It's a bit of a destitute place. And again, the consciousness is low. I've been in the trenches here in Lancaster organizing. I do something called the Knowledge Bowl as well. Of all the things I do, I'm proud of them. Again, I believe they're blessed by the ancestors, but something I do that excites me is something called the Knowledge Bowl. It's basically like a Black History Jeopardy where teams of students come together. Provide them with a bit of a study guide. They have about 45 days of study from the study guide. Then they show up at a high school gymnasium or auditorium and they compete and answer 101 questions in Black history for trophies and prizes and medals and awards and scholarships and what have you. And so that's one thing that I've done now. Again, the calendar has been in existence for 16 years. And so I've been doing the Knowledge Bowl now for 15 years where again, I organize students to learn about Black people in STEM, about Black inventors, mathematicians, about the Harlem Renaissance, about a whole host of questions and concepts and subjects. But I honestly don't want to toot my own horn, but we got a few sisters doing some agricultural stuff. Again, it's a desert area, a bunch of land out here. And so a few system comes to mind, Wanette Colors, doing some good stuff in regards to agriculture, teaching kids that. Well, we have an annual Kwanzaa celebration. I was on the board for a number of years and started the first Kwanzaa celebrations out in this area. But like you alluded to, brother, not too much. Again, I don't want to blame it on LA folks, you know, but we didn't have too much of this shootings and gang stuff. But folks began selling my, you know, grandma's house in LA and then coming out here. It's the least, you pay the least amount for a home in all of LA County here in Lancaster area. And so folks sold grandma's house in LA, came out here with that money and they can get a big old house. But not knowing that you got to drive an hour or two and sit in traffic and commute up to 405 to 514 to get to work and stuff back and forth every day. But they bought some of those ills and some of that sicknesses and that fratten side and all that and doing a whole bunch of shooting and killing out here nowadays. And it's truly is sad. Truly, truly is sad.
They used to have a Palmdale, if I'm not mistaken. I spoke out there once, at NAACP.
Yep, at Antelope Valley, NAACP, yep.
I got an award out there when I spoke. They just got a new civic center or something. They had are there any effort to engage the young people? Let's say, for instance, I agree with Linda. You know, because you have all, you know, it's hard when you got your business and you got your family and things of this nature. But sometimes, like with this technology that we have, if you have friends and neighbors on that you can influence to watch programs like this, and I'm glad to share time with you if you want to speak on it or have them come and listen to some of the lectures here anytime. You're welcome. Rasha Key, I'll send you my number. Everybody else have it. You know, it's 310-505-2358, 310-505-2358. And, you know, you can come on the Conscious Corner. Whenever there's an issue you think that is important, specifically to educate the people in Lancaster, that's very important. Because they need some leadership. And not just civil rights and churches, but consciousness, you know. A newsletter or something. Okay, but you think, you know, in the calendar, like you say, you're giving them Black facts, actual facts about Blacks. I understand that. And that's very important, historical contributions of Black people. But consciousness is also important, of the struggle, and how to teach them to love each other and respect each other and see each other as sacred beings. You know, I had to learn that. You know, me, brothers like he and even Rasha Keith and probably Mashinda, how to start treating brothers and sisters respectfully. You know, and if you see a sister selling her body on the corner, that's not a prostitute or a whore. That's somebody's daughter. Rather than, you know, why is she out there doing that? She giving us a bad name. No, you understand? Somebody's just doing the best they can, probably, to survive. And if you ain't gonna go out and help her, offer her a job, or give her an alternative, don't put her down because of the oppression that she probably went through, or the oppression by some brother or some sister that's pimping her. But the point is that, I'm just glad that you're still in the movement with your information, but we can expand it with this technology, like Linda said. More people need to know about your calendars. More people need to know about, you know, how they can help mobilize, educate, and organize our people wherever they are. I got to do more here in Compton and Watts. I'm still in the hood, but you know, my health is not what it used to be. So
that's right.
I can't do it. Yeah.
I would like to add to what you said. Mm-hmm. Our platform is to self and collectively improve. And what Professor Rob, what you were saying, I would like to say also, we need to develop strategies to improve our behavior. I have developed a strategy by whenever I'm speaking negatively about other people, I begin to catch myself and then focus on what I could do to improve myself versus talking about other people. So that's a strategy that I came up with. I mean, it's not nothing new, but instead of looking at other people and their flaws, why not look at your own and start doing something about that? And that would alleviate you going outside of yourself, talking about other people, and start thinking about the improvement of self. So that's just a strategy that I came up with.
Rasha Key was a basketball standout at Compton High and Cal State Long Beach. He played for legendary coach Eddie Thomas, and he came over there and played on winning teams at Cal State Long Beach. And he went on and graduated and has been a longtime teacher in the neighborhood at Centennial, my alumni. Had me there speaking on Black history, a lot of Black various days, him and Brother Hood and another brother. And so, you know, it's a thing in which you have a network because you stay in contact with the former students, and they need to have you on their campuses. Speak, you know, I know it's a long drive to get back.
I'm used to it.
But they need to give you a stipend. you know, for Black History Month. And Black, you got to market, brother. You got to market what you're doing.
Thank you.
And those things are very important. While you're young and healthy.
That's right. Let me say this. Let me say this. See, this conversation was reminding me of something Dr. Khalid Muhammad talked about, how in Lancaster, we have Prince Hall Masons. We got Alphas, Kappas, Qs. We got Delta Sigma Theta. We got Sigma Gamma Rho's. We got Baptists. We got Protestants. Everyone thinks that they have the right answer. Everyone thinks that they have the key. Everyone thinks that they have the knowledge. Everyone wants to recruit folks into their organization and then go their separate ways. But again, that unity, that organization, that coming together, that consciousness raising conversations and activities aren't present, you know, and that is absolutely key. Again, Black consciousness, Black awareness, coming together, organizing and unifying our resources, unifying our intellect, unifying again our resources, our time, our talents, our resources is the key. The only key to you know, bettering our circumstances.
Yeah, but what we learned at Cal State when we started the Black Consciousness Conference and the Black movement on the campus, the sororities and fraternities were very much apart. You can be that. That's unity with diversity.
That's right.
Come in as a Kappa. Matter of fact, Brother Ijaw, I don't know if you remember Ijaw, he was the president of the fraternity and the BSU.
Okay.
We never criticized Greeks and things of this nature. We sometimes you gotta go where the people are and take them where you want them to go. But we was open. We was open to Christians, Muslims. We all sat down together at one time. And Dr. Khalid Muhammad, you know, me and him was real close. I mean, real close. We spoke of him all the time. I mean, and I got taste of me and him on platforms and stuff together.
Wow! I need you to dig in the archives and let me hear some of those conversations, brother.
Yeah,
I know it was top notch.
Well, he was our keynote speaker for the Black Consciousness Conference the first 5 years. He closed it out every Sunday, and so you know, check up from the neck up, you know. All of that stuff. But my point is that unity with diversity and unity without uniformity. You don't have to dress right. You know, you have to wear dashikis or you don't have to wear bow ties or you don't have to have your hair cut a certain way. You understand? Second, you don't have to your individualism is welcome. Your way of thinking, you may have an answer. So that's how we build Black United Front. And that concept of Operation Unity was introduced in the 60s by Maulana, and it is copied all over the country. Unity with diversity and unity without uniformity. And that's a beautiful way of working with everybody. You understand? I mean, even though Jabal's gonna come on here and talk about Christianity, racism, you know, that's gonna hurt a lot of Christians, of course. But at the same time, they can come on and talk about racism is hurting Christianity. Or they can come on and talk about, you know, how Christianity has helped them. They've had revelations where God stepped in and saved their lives and things, give them testimony. We don't have no problem with that. You understand? We welcome the diversity of our people.
Indeed.
And on the continent, we're the most diverse continent
the
planet. When
That's
it comes
right.
to languages, when it comes to communities, when it comes to hair, dress, or, you know, Igbo, you know, all that different languages.
Indeed.
Brother Aki, you want to go ahead, Jamal.
Now, you said something that reminded me of something else that changed under my presidency there at Long Beach State Black Student Union. I changed, but once I'm talking to Brother Ahi and Brother Rashiki and Sister Linda now, I changed the Consciousness Conference days. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday for years and years and years. But I had noticed that Sunday wasn't too too well attended. You know, folks is going to church, going to the mosque, what have you. So I actually, in addition to the name change, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, changed the days of the conference to a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I was just sitting there doing all sort of things, out of order, as Professor Ross said, not talking to the elders, not talking to those who have paved the way. But trust and believe me, in all sincerity, it was done with good intentions. I wanted to, you know, make sure the final day was well attended and what have you. And going back to the name change real fast, again, I was heavy with Pan-Africanism and reading Garvey, Marcus Garvey, listening to, going to sleep every night, listening to Dr. John Hendrick Clark. When he talks about, you know, a name that we call one another must instantaneously connect you with land, history, culture. So I'm full of all these thoughts, full of all these ideas. I'm going out marketing, researching in Long Beach, and going out talking to all the Black students on the campus. And I'm running across Ethiopians who said, "Oh, I didn't know I was invited to the Black Student Union. You know, I'm an African. I'm an Ethiopian." I'm talking to some Nigerian students who say, "I'm a Nigerian. You know, I'm an Igbo. I'm a Yoruba. I'm this and that." And so. With the purest of intentions, I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that we were African people, we were connected, and we wanted to increase the numbers and what have you. And so, although I feel as if I was at the time most certainly right and justified in doing the things I was doing, again, as Professor Raw, with his wisdom to remember and in memory, great memory at 76, to remember again the exact conversations that we had and his exact points that he shared with me then, my misstep. And in all of my wisdom at 42, I know I still got a long way to go, but all of my wisdom at 42, I can look back and reflect and sincerely say, again, I was out of order in the path that I took, and not, you know, checking off all the boxes and covering all the bases before I proceeded, you know, with whatever my intentions, as pure as the intentions were. Again, there's still propriety and truth, justice, balance, harmony, order, reciprocity, you know, the tenets of Ma'at that we must have at the core of all that we do. So I can
and
say
balance.
That.
Yeah, all balance, of that. Thank and you. I appreciate you saying that. But at the same time, the struggle continued. No matter what you call yourself, white man is going to kill you. You know, he don't care. Even them Africans. What about the brother in New York? They stuck the plunger up his rectum. You understand? You know, he was an African. Right. But they did it because he was Black. But there's a number of issues we got to look at. And we're going to talk about the Black identity and the origin of it from a scientific standpoint later on. I hope you come back and when we discuss that. In my class, I always say the anthropological origin, the physiological origin, and the philosophical origin of Blackness. And all of those are sciences. And that's where that came from. But anyway, it's been beautiful, man. Beautiful, beautiful conversation. Let's stay in touch, Jamal. You know, anything absolutely. I can do to assist. You know, it's going to be mostly via Zoom and stuff like that.
Indeed,
because
indeed.
Until I get my health back, which we have a lot of programs on this show about health, nutrition, some we didn't get in school or home, but how to eat right, how to exercise, and what to stay away from, and things of that nature. Thanks to Rasha Key. He has excellent nutritionists and herbalists on our program. So it's not just about fighting white folks. It's about helping yourself to be a better person and feel good and stay healthy and stay out of the medical centers. Like I have to go to one now. You know, every time I look like a Rite Aid in the house. You understand? So many bottles of medicine.
Oh man.
You understand? But and I got herbs too. Yep. You know, vitamin B plex, this B, C, E, all that. But you know, I have to go to the doctor to see if it's working. You know?
Yeah. So, I know our hour is well spent. I know we almost signed it off. I wanted to say this, another legacy, another seed that you sowed inside of me. As a student, community service was a major factor in what you taught us and what you demonstrated for us and what you instilled in us. And go to Compton College, talk to some kids, tutor some kids, mentor some kids, be a Jegna. You know, it could take you a long way. I'm now in a position, I have a 9-to-5 as well. In my 9-to-5, I'm a program coordinator for the state of California for this nonprofit. And the students who do community service, it's not written anywhere. Again, same way in Professor Raw class, where it was just kind of understood. You know, you do this and some good things might happen for you. The students who do community service, I'm now in a position to put forth their name and select them. Did it for the first time this past year as I was kind of new to this role. They get an all expense paid trip, 14 days to the continent of Africa, based off of some community service. They have to do a whole bunch of other stuff, but I highly, highly, highly weigh their community service aspect of what they do. And this past summer, again, me and 9 students and a few and board members and stuff from our company I'm with, we went to Zambia, went to Botswana and Mozambique. But again, of course, there's essays, there's a grade component and this and that. But again, I skew that community service piece, again, based on the life, the lessons, the teachings of a professor, Professor Amon Ra.
It's coming to the community, man. It was beautiful. Thanks a lot for that. Sante Sana.
Indeed. Well, Rashi next week? Linda had her hand up.
Okay.
Yes, but my question is real quick. How do we get in touch with you? I see your website. Do we have an email or a phone number?
Yes. Let's see. The best email, Jamal, Jamal, again, Jamal dot black, BLACK, 365 at Gmail. Jamal dot black 365 at Gmail. Best phone number, 661-609-8193. Again, from the top, 661-609-8193. Jamal Brown. And again, you said you're there on the website, black365.com, black365.com.
Okay, repeat the number one more time, please.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. 661-609-8193.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I got 611-609-8193.
From the top, it was 661.
Yeah. 661, not
661. Yeah, that's a good old Lancaster Palmdale, 661.
All right, I got it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. I would love to remain in contact and continue to build with you, brother.
All right.
I see the fantastic things your son is doing as well. I need to connect with him and get some of these calendars in the schools and things that he has his fingerprints on.
Yeah, I'll make sure he gets your number.
Okay.
That 661 number.
Indeed.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he just called me. He's going to be in, he's leaving for Indiana Tuesday, and then he'll be back. But I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Tell him that you got a black calendar.
Yeah, get some calendars in his hands.
He's traveling all over the country.
I see. I'm inspired. I'm proud of him. Mm-hmm. Now he went to Cal Long Beach as well, right?
No, they wouldn't let him in because he had my name.
Oh my goodness!
So he went to Cal State Dominguez and graduated as an honor student in 2 years.
Okay, but he used to be there waiting for you to get out of class. So I want to say we hung out with him in the psych.
That was my other son, Shahid. Okay.
Oh, Shahid, that's right, Shahid.
Yeah. I have 3 boys: Kumba,
yep,
who was a former president, who was Omar.
Yeah,
Kumba, he's in Colorado.
Okay.
Director of Student Diversity. And then I'm from Cherry Creek Unified School District. Shahid's a custom agent, him and his wife, in Long Beach. And Amen is an entrepreneur,
educator doing his thing.
Yeah, former principal and all that stuff. And
that's right.
He got a company where they're using technology to give incentives to students to not be absent or tardy and to get good grades.
Beautiful.
They get Nike shoes and different things. And
Beautiful. No, I
you
see
know,
him. Miss Linda talked about using social media now. Brother Amen, young Amen is doing his thing all over social media and
that's right.
inspiring.
I think I'll tell him you said that too when I talk to
Indeed,
him.
indeed,
All right
indeed.
then.
Yeah.
Roger Key.
Okay. So tomorrow, folks, we have Brother Neb Tahaker. The topic is Quantum Leap into the New Time. So that should be very interesting. He's going to be talking about the 13-month calendar. So that's going to be interesting.
Okay. And I would, and Javal will be here next Wednesday. Next Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay, we put that up.
All right. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner.
Again,
don't take our pause.
Once again, million thanks. You're always welcome. Always welcome. Tune in when you can.
I will.
We'd love
to
have you as a regular on the show to ask other people questions and expand your network and communication.
Let's do it. I will.